Today I want to open up with Matthew 5, 17 and 18. It says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is all fulfilled." Today I want to talk about a few things. And actually I want to give a, Lynn would want to give a testimony, so as I, come on up here before we get going. As I remember, sometimes I forget.
I'm leaving it with the Lord. I don't worry about it. That's one thing when you're a Christian, you just leave it with the Lord. Then you don't have to worry. But yeah, I wanted to just praise God and to let you know how he protects us. Next month I'll be 87. And the other morning, this last week I guess it was, I had a dream. And you know, you never reach the end of the dream. Because just as I was ready to get to the end of the dream, I fell out of bed. Yeah, I got a big bruise on my hip. But the interesting thing about it is that the very next day after the dream, I was praying about it and I called Kyle. And I was telling him, I get cuts and bruises, but we were praying that God would send somebody. And the very next day, the Lord sent David to me. And so he's staying with me, and he's my protector.
Amen.
And I love him very much. We're getting along very well. We even have devotions. Isn't that... That's good, isn't it? So, but I wanted to tell, it doesn't matter our age, God protects us. He's got his hand on us. He knows the beginning from the end, and I just thank him and praise him for it.
Amen. Amen. He knows exactly where you are at, the things you're going through, the things that's trialing you, the things that are troubling you, and there's always a way. He always gives you a way. You know, well, Steve did a great job last week, even though he had some difficulties with his computer. You know, he did an awesome job of pouring out his heart. And when we feel inefficient, we don't feel worthy of doing certain things, and God has placed those things in you. It's our own humility, our own humanity in us that makes us feel insufficient and not worthy, and we're not worthy of doing this before the Lord. And that is by far the enemy talking to you. Today's message is going to be about why Jesus came to the earth. I have a few pictures I want to display, and I'll just look at them when they come up, and I'll tell you what I want to talk about today. But I was, this weekend, Saturday, I began to harvest the corn. Actually, I had a few ears earlier in the week and noticed that the coons had really destroyed a lot, and a lot of stuff had happened in the field. And so I'm harvesting the corn, so we're going to put it up Saturday. So Tabby was gone, so I got up early and picked the corn because it's always good when it's sweet. And I ran across some different type of ears, which they'll come up here in just a minute. Or not. It's on the email. And every seed was planted in the same condition. There was no different conditions. They were all in the same plot. The conditions were the same, fertilized the same, rained the same, which were hardly any. The sun came on them just as much as the other plants. It was all the same. The deer came in and ravished certain ones. The coons came in and ravished certain ones. And so when you look at this right here, just leave it right there for just a minute. Every conditions are the same. But some are filled out to the end. Some have some pieces missing. Then the third one there in the middle, it's full, but it's shorter. You can see some worms got up on top of it, some bugs got in. The next one over is a full ear of corn, never been touched. The next two on my left, be on your left, they're pollinated and they put on seed, but they just put on a little. And as the Lord was speaking to me about this, he said, we're all raised in the same condition. We're all in the same church house, but some of us grow differently. Sometimes trials in our life, sometimes things in our life, sometimes marriages, sometimes people talk against you or something will happen, and all of a sudden we begin to get hurt. And during that time, the two on the left and maybe the one second from the right had some problems in its life. But here's what God does. He comes in and he still allows you to grow. If you would be, see, the one on the from the left, second one, even though you have trouble in your life, still press into God. Because here's the thing. In the end, God is looking for fruit. And sometimes we don't look at ourselves as putting off fruit. And I thought about this as God is gleaning the church. And he's bringing them into the kingdom. And he's looking, wow, look at the potential you could have had. Man, the harvest. And I think about my life. Go ahead and switch to another video or another picture. I think about my life and how I started out in with mom and dad taking me to church and doing stuff and growing in the Lord. And then I probably had some spots like them other ears that had some unfruitfulness in my life. But what I noticed is as I come back to the Lord, fruit began to grow again. Fruit begin to happen when we're harvested and the Lord looks at us and he picks us off the stalk, if you would say. He's going to see those moments in your life that you overcame through his son. As I look at this here, the one in the center was a full ear. It reached its potential. But what happened was a little bug got in there and started to lay eggs, and then a worm came forth. And what happened is the worm began to eat away the fruit or the corn. What I'm saying is a mature Christian can allow something to come into their life and start to eat away the fruit of what the gospel has put into you. And over a course of time, even at the start, at the one on the right, you can see a worm, a bug got in there and started to eat away. Eventually, if you leave that bug in there long enough, it will destroy the whole crop. And basically what I'm saying is even though we're mature Christians, if we allow things to come into our life, all the fruit and all the stuff that you have done for the Lord will be ate away. And what I'm saying is eventually you turn yourself away from God because you grow hard. There is nothing there anymore. You've had the same wine for a long time and it's never changed. It's got tainted. But as long as you get those worms out, that piece of corn is eatable. It's good for something. I don't think the next one had anything on it. Go to the next one. I think it was just two ears fully developed, all potential there. That's what God wants to see. This is what Jesus is, a restorer. He is a restorer. So what I just showed you is a depiction of what our lives look like. But what God does is he restores you. From the moment that you accept him as Savior, your past life is gone away, right? It's done away. There's no more of that past. It's not remembered anymore. And then he begins to develop you into a place of maturity. And he restores you just like that. But if we allow the enemy to come in and eat away the things in our life, that's our fault. But Jesus made a way because he came to the earth. Thank you. I don't know, I just got revelation out of it. Whenever I started harvesting, it's like, man, I wonder what God thinks when we start to come into his kingdom. When we get to a certain age or we pass away at some point in time in our life and we are picked, the harvest is in. There's no more changing who we are. So now's the time when you're alive, when you're living, and you get excited for God and you begin to change your life for him. Now's the time to clean those things up in your life. Get rid of those bugs that cause the worms to eat away at your life. Because it is true. It is a very true statement. A mature piece of corn, a bug, a little bug. I mean, they're really small. A little bug gets in there, weaves its way through the shuck, gets into the corn, and starts to devour it. A little sin. A little backtalk. A little lie. A little thing of unforgiveness will literally allow that bug to come in and destroy your life. That's the enemy. Kill, steal, and destroy, right? You have the power. You don't need anyone else, but you have the power to get rid of those things in your life. You have the power. Why? How do you have the power? Because Jesus came into the earth to give it to you. See, before, the blood of animals could not cleanse you of all your sins. But when Jesus came, he could cleanse you of all your sins. The blood of goats and sheep were not sufficient, but the blood of the Son of God was sufficient. Amen? So I got about 7 points I want to make today of why Jesus came into the earth. This is not an exhaustive list because there is so many more, but these are the 7. Some of you Kineo guys will know and hear it, but I thought this was a good message to bring today. So number one, looking at our opening scripture, Jesus said that he came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. Jesus came to fulfill every word that the prophets spoke, not to destroy it. What was going on? The Pharisees were interpreting scriptures and the Sadducees were interpreting scriptures and they were really misinterpreting them a little bit wrong. Jesus came to interpretate them correctly. See, destroy means to throw down, come to naught, overthrow, or dissolve. They could dissolve. The enemy would want to dissolve the true meaning of Scripture and give it a tainted way of understanding. We have been taught so many things that are not really right in the Bible, but we just go with them because they've been taught for years upon years upon years upon years, and it just becomes what we know as Christians. But there's so many things out there today that you can read and get knowledge of and understand of culture and what was going on at the time. And we got to understand that Jesus was a Jewish person. And we got to understand what the Jews believed and why Jesus was there at the moment and why he did certain things. And so sometimes we miss all of that stuff. See, Jesus didn't come to destroy interpretation of Scripture. He come to bring interpretation correctly. See, Jesus came to walk out what the prophets spoke about him and what the prophets spoke. That's why he came. One reason. Second thing, Jesus came to serve. In Mark 10, 42 to 45, it says, Jesus called to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever you desire to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. You know, sometimes we get so into ourself that we don't serve. To be someone in the kingdom, you are supposed to serve. Think about that. To be someone in the kingdom, to be like our master Jesus, to be like him, we should serve as he served. The way of the world and even our young generation, what are they, Gen Zs, right? What are they called? Gen Zs? I love Alexis's kids and your family. They're servants. If you ever watch this family, they serve constantly. Now, I will tell you, serving will not get you into the kingdom. Just because you serve will not get you into the kingdom. Just because you serve does not make it make your salvation. Serving is out of the heart of what you've been taught, but serving is out of the character of Jesus, and that character is in you guys. So I'm not condemning. But what I'm saying is, just because you serve doesn't mean you're going to be in the kingdom. Just because you do everything there is to do, and whenever you have to do something and somebody's in need of something, you serve, does not get you in the kingdom. Jesus came to do that. Serving is an attitude of gratitude of what God has done in your life. So you serve other people because you want to love them like Jesus did. And so whenever there's something to be done, it should be like, no, I'm going to get it. No, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the trash, Tabby. Not you. I'll take it. No, I'm going to get it. See what I'm saying? When you see something that needs done, you just do it. In the workforce, you see it all the time. People will just let you do those things because they're too busy on their phones now, right? Yeah. Yeah. Serving themselves, serving their own likeness, serving their own lust and desire that they flip through their phones. The third thing, Jesus came into the world to do the will of the Father. I got three scriptures here I want to bring out. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 5:19 says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Think about that. Are we close enough to the Father to see what he's doing so we can do things in like manner? That we are doing the will of the Father. John 14:10-11 says, Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Who dwells in you? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works for themselves. Believe me because I'm doing all these miracles. Believe me because look what, this is what the Father's heart is. The Father's heart's healing. The Father's heart's love. The Father's heart's compassion. As you watch Jesus walk out his ministry, you see love, you see compassion, you see healing, you see supernatural things happening. And I've been praying here lately because I want to see the glory of God like I've never seen it before. And I'm really struggling, I'm really stressing out, not really stressing out, but I really, maybe it's that broken place that I'm looking for, maybe it's that new wine I'm looking for, and I haven't got broken yet, I haven't been the ground tilled up enough yet to cause that new wine to grow, but I've been seeking his face because God, I'm sick of doing things the same way. I'm sick of doing things and getting the same result. I'm trying to get something motivated in my life. I'm trying to see God change something in my life to allow me to walk out the things that God tasked me to do. I want to be the full potential of the ear. I want to be the full potential that he's placed in me, and I hope you guys are the same way, that you want to be the full potential that God has placed in you from that very seed, because we have all been planted in the same type of soil. We all have the same type of nutrients. We've all been watered. Some of us have been watered a little more because if you have the gift of prophecy and you're not using it, you need to be using it to speak in people's lives, because what that does is begins to water their life. It begins to water their spirit. It begins to water them, encourage them to move forward in their walk with God. If you have a gift of miracles and you're not using them, and you need to be out there praying. You need to be out not just praying, but just healing them. The Bible doesn't tell us to pray. It says heal them. And so I've been in this place of, God, I'm sick of doing it the same way over and over. I want to see the manifestation of your goodness. I want to see the mercy of who you are, God, resonating through me, but also through the church. I want to see the goodness of God in the miracles and signs and wonders. Not just to see the signs and wonders, but to imitate who God is in the earth. That's why Jesus came, to help us out to do those things. Because the Holy Spirit didn't come until Jesus died, rose again, and ascended to heaven. And then he waited 10 days, and he came into the church. And the Holy Spirit began to fill people. And Jesus came so the Holy Spirit could come into us. And so he could be in us in everything that we do. We could be an imitators of Christ. So I'm pressing in for that. I'm pressing in for the breaking and the shattering and whatever it takes to be broken so I can have the new wine poured out of me. We should all come to that place of realization that we need to have that. And I liked what Adrian said, and he said this to me offline when we were just talking, but he talked about at the last day of this children's youth revival that the Spirit of God came down. In a mighty, he said it was like all one sound. He said the instruments are playing, the people are singing, but it was all one, one sound. You couldn't distinguish between what it was, but the presence of God was on those children. And in that upper, they was all up at the front, just the presence of God, because they had one heart, one mind, being broken before the Father, changing everything within them. When are we going to come as a church across the United States into a place of unity in the body that says, we all believe in Jesus, the Son of the living God. We all believe in who he is. We all believe that his Spirit resides within our hearts. We need to demonstrate that throughout the earth. We got to come into that knowledge of that stuff. So we've been taught that Jesus, I've heard this many times, that Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. Have you ever heard that? He's in the garden. Take this cup from me. We all heard that that he's on the cross, and the light goes dark. That God turned his back on him. You ever heard that one? And it's false. God never turned his back on him. We're going to get to that. Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Heard that scripture many times. Man, I don't want to go this route. It's what we've been taught, right? Not true. He came into the world for this reason. It's why he came into the world. He came into the world to die. He came into the world to give his life. He knew exactly why he came into the earth, because in Revelation 13:8 it says, before the foundations of the earth, Christ was crucified. Him and the Father standing there, this is what's going to happen. He knew. He knew before humanity was created that this was the place for him to come. At the exact moment and time and space and dimension, he came on this earth. For the exact timing of him being laid up on the cross, and for the light to go dim in the daylight hours, and while he's on the cross bearing the sins of the world, for the generations before and the generations after and all the ones to come, all sin was laid upon him. He never tried to alter the course of the cross. He never tried to alter the course, because that was his purpose in life. He came to die for me and you. He came to give his life as a ransom for me and you. He came as our representative. Revelation 13:8 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundations of the world. That just gives you proof. We've said this over the last, I don't know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. We've talked about that scripture. Listen to this. When we taught that Jesus, that God turned his back on him on the cross, look at this at Psalms 22. David is writing and penning this out, and there's a chaos going on in his life. All right? There's chaos going on in his life. And he pens this, and he says, "For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard." He did not turn his face away from Jesus, but he heard. And he was looking it down upon him. He did not turn away from sin. He looks on our life every day. He looks on the sinner every day. The people that he's calling, the Holy Spirit's calling them, our sons and our daughters, our friends and our family, the Holy Spirit is calling them in their sinful nature, in their sinful state. The Holy Spirit is calling them into the kingdom. We've been praying for them. We've been seeking God for them. And he's calling them into the kingdom. They have to choose, though. We cannot force them. But they have to choose out of their own desires in their heart. The prayer in the garden was for physical help. God, I know I'm getting ready to go through this traumatic event. I need you to help my body to withstand all the punishment that's coming, that we already know is coming. Help me withstand. Help me to move on. Help me to carry it. That's what he's saying. It wasn't to turn away, but it was to help me carry it physically. See, the human side of Jesus was like us. We get broken down. We get hurt. I don't want to bring politics up, but yesterday during the shooting, did everybody see the assassination attempt? Everybody see that? As Trump goes down, and he gets up, bleeding. But he's saying, why is he doing that? He's saying, I'm encouraging you. Just because someone tries to take me out, I want you to fight. I want you to stand your ground. Jesus is saying, just because they're going to take me out, I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to be strong. And even when I'm on the cross, humiliated in front of everybody, bare naked, in front of everybody. Humiliated on the cross. Let me stand until I can stand no more. Let me stand until that exact moment I'm supposed to give my life up. Help me in my body form, in my humanity form. Help me carry out what you've asked me to carry out, that we agreed on before the foundations of the earth. Help me carry it out physically. Spiritually, he already had it done in his mind. It was already going to happen. But his body needed to last a certain amount of time. He needed to be on the cross for 6 hours. He needed to be there and sustain the whippings. He needed to sustain all the things that happened to him. And so he's saying, help me in my physical form. Help me in my body that I can sustain everything that is required of me. Every sacrifice that needs to be made, help all the blood that is supposed to be poured out of me be done the right way. Jesus had just finished the Passover meal, right? And he goes to the garden with his disciples and he says, pray with me. Pray with me, three of them. I'm going to go ahead and he goes off a little further, and that's when he prays, let this cup pass from me, the cup of redemption. He didn't mean, I don't want to do this. He did not mean that. Listen to this, the cup of redemption. This is what we learned in Caneo, so if you're not in Caneo, you're going to get some of it because we're going to preach it from the pulpit just a little bit. So we learned in Caneo class, when you drink of the cup, you would drink very deeply and drink your portion. Think about that. If we're sitting around the table and we're taking the communion meal as they did in that time in the culture, it was a cup. one cup. Now, some of you can't drink after your children, right? Austin cannot drink after anyone. He can't drink after his own son. We just drink it, right? We don't care. But think about this. They're all sitting around the table, and Jesus takes the cup and he blesses the third cup. And he passes it. It means drink of it deeply. Drink of it till you're full. Now, there's only so much in the cup, right? So many times we go, is that deeply? And so what would happen was if you would drink it all, then you would refill it. Jesus came to empty the cup. Listen to me. Jesus came to empty the cup. What's he have to do? Fill it up so you can drink. He's in the garden thinking of the cup. He's going to refill it for you. Jesus emptied himself and drank to the fullness of the cup on the cross, at the whipping post. The redemption that needed to happen for you. So what he was going to do is, he's going to fill it up for you again. Holy Spirit comes and fills you continually. Continually, because we always need refilled, because we pour out and we need refilled and refilled and refilled. Number four, Jesus came into the world to bear witness of the truth. John 18:37 says, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you the king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am the king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." He is the truth. He came to bring correct interpretation of the scripture. He came to allow the prophetic word that was spoken by the prophets to come true. He came to tell them what the prophets actually said about him. He came to demonstrate what the prophets said and spoke was going to happen. John 1:7 says, "This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He is the light of the world and the truth. Light is truth. Darkness is false and darkness is a lie. But he is the light of the world and he is going to bring truth." And when you have the light of the world in you, you have the truth of God in you. And it sustains your life. But when you have the darkness of lies in you, it begins to tear you apart. It begins not only tear you apart, but when you begin to express those lies and incorrect interpretations of Scripture and you pass them on to different people, then all of a sudden it starts to demonstrate or tear down or destroy the church or the Christian people that it comes in contact with. It's like that little worm it's like that little bug that gets into the shuck. It's like that thing that begins to, it's a bug when it gets in, but it's a worm when it forms, and then all of a sudden it takes and eats all the things around, all the prosperous stuff that God has placed in you. We do not want that to happen. We want the light of the world to be in us, the truth of God to rise up in us, and we want the darkness to flee, because that's what happens in light. Darkness flees, and when the Holy Spirit comes within you, darkness has to flee unless you give the darkness room. Do not give the darkness room in your life. Fifth thing, Jesus came to the world to destroy the works of the devil. In 1 John 3:8 it says, "He who sins of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." He was manifested, why? To destroy the works of the devil. Now we have the potential in us to destroy the works of the devil. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives within us. Is that true? Does he live within you? See, this scripture was past tense. It's already done. Meaning already done. Past tense. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Done. Listen to this. The word in Greek is lou, meaning to set free, loose, or divorce, to annul, subvert, to do away with, to deprive of all authority by precept or act. Listen to that. To deprive of all authority by precept or act. We have that. We have that through Jesus, that we can deprive all authority that has been given to Satan. We can take all authority away from him. He does not have any authority over you. To declare unlawful, meaning you can't trespass on what's here. Cannot trespass on what's here. If you are a child of God, he cannot trespass on you unless you invite him in. If you had a trespass sign on your property, you might have on your property all the way around your property, you see the purple spray paint and you see the signs, do not trespass. What happens if you trespass and you're not invited? You could get shot. You could get shot. You could get arrested. The game warden would come, especially if you take a fishing pole. You ever done that? Take a fishing pole across somebody else's lines? I've done that. I have done that. I've trespassed. I knew there was a pond there that had really good fishing in it, Sonny. I was a kid. And I would go there and I would go fishing. But anyway, trespassing. If there's a sign there and it says you're not invited, they can kick you out. Okay? Now, there's signs all around the property that says do not trespass, but the person that owns the property says come on in. Are you allowed into that trespassing zone? Exactly. You're exactly allowed. Satan is allowed into the no trespassing zone because you invited him in. It is no longer trespassing. You are invited. It's a legal right. See, it's illegal. Good point. It's illegal when you see the sign. It's illegal when Satan sees the sign. The blood of Jesus that covers you, right? That's the sign that's on you. The blood of Jesus is our covering because his blood is our righteousness. It covers our unrighteousness. It makes us righteous because God looks down and sees the blood upon us. But now Satan sees the blood as well. He sees the blood. He sees the glory. But when he sees the glory, all he has to do is just do like he did to Adam or Eve. Surely you want to be like God? And the desire was to be like God. Well, yeah. Well, you won't die. You're not going to die at all. If you eat of this fruit, he knows that you'll have the same knowledge of him and you'll be like him. And so she takes. And she eats and gives it to Adam. He's standing right beside her. Don't think he wasn't. He allowed her because he thought, man, let's see if she dies first. Right? How many men would do that? Let's just see. You find out your true friends, right? Or your true wife, husband and wife. But the moment that Adam ate, the glory of God left. The glory covered them. Satan could not trespass in them. Because the glory, the light of God was upon them. They didn't even know each other was naked, right? Because there was a glory. We don't understand this, but there was a glory that overshadowed them, that covered them. They looked like light beings. They actually looked like spirits. But they had fleshly bodies because they were made of the earth. This is what God made. But the moment that Adam ate, because he was the one over Eve. And the moment that he ate, the glory left. They didn't die. But the moment that they ate, they seen each other's nakedness. The moment. Instantly. Oh! See, Eve ate, nothing happened. Adam ate, gone. Now I know something happened. God's presence is not on us anymore. Let's go fix it and see if we can fix it ourselves. Let's see if we can cover ourselves and God will never know. Right? So they grab the fig leaves and cover, and make a tunic or whatever they do. And even though they made the tunic, they knew that it wasn't right. And so they hide themselves from God as he comes down to talk with them and says, Adam, where are you at? We don't hear much from Satan at this point, do we? And when he comes out, he sees that he already knew, right? Because the glory was gone. And so he does what is necessary. That he takes some animal. It doesn't state which one. And it doesn't state that he killed it. It just states that he took the skins of an animal and placed it upon them. Now we know that if a skin of an animal is used, there was had to be death. It had to be bloodshed. We know. And so the blood only covered sin for a moment. And that's why Jesus came into the earth to die, that his blood will cover you forever. Amen? Just a little thing there. So to trespass, I'm going to go over it real quick. To trespass means to set free, loose, divorce, to annul, subvert, to do away with, to deprive of all authority by prospect, precept, or act. To declare unlawful, meaning to trespass. No trespassing. To lose what is compacted, to loose what is compacted or built together, to break up or demolish or to destroy. Breaking it up altogether. Excuse me. That's what loo means. It's actually destroy, but loo is what the Greek word is. If you look at destroy, it means something different in other scriptures. But this scripture here, it says, this is what it means, to deprive of all authority. No trespassing. I mean, he cannot trespass. He has no authority to come in. Colossians 2, 13 to 15 says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Everything that you have trespassed against God, every sin, everything that you have done, Iris, everything that you have done, everything, all trespasses against God, everything, nothing can be held against you. All trespasses that you've ever done, I don't care what they were either you've done or they've been done to you. Some people feel shame, and I know this, and just because being around and talking to people that most women and now young boys, most young girls, there's a good chance of them being abused by someone. Some kind of abuse. And what happens is and they could be in their 20s and still be abused. At some point in time, most women are going to be abused. Young boys are getting abused, more so than ever. But what happens is they feel shame. They feel it was their fault. They feel like, oh, it was all me. And it's not. You need to take that trespass that the enemy placed on your heart and on your mind and get rid of it. And God came, Jesus came to set you free from all trespasses that you have done and has been done to you, that all trespasses are gone. There is nothing, nothing that is not wiped away by the blood of Jesus. So having forgiven you of all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed, listen to this, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Listen to that. He disarmed them. They have no military weapon that can formed against you will ever prosper in a Christian life. There is not one place that a weapon of the enemy can prosper in your life. Not one. Every weapon that is formed, every weapon that is made from the enemy cannot prosper against you. Now, it can prosper if you allow it to come in. And it will. And it will destroy you. But for a Christian, a true believer, listen to that. If you haven't underlined that in your Bible, you need to underline that. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed dismantled, that's basically the same thing. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Nailed to the cross. He triumphed over the enemy. That there is not one weapon. Not one weapon. He's looking to heaven. God's looking at him. Not one weapon right here, because I did this. My blood is sufficient for everything. My blood is sufficient. I got a couple more. Number six. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus said to him in John 14, 6 and 7. Said, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You have known me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen me. Can't even speak. Tongue twister. I'm going to do it again. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Because why? Because he's not talking to you. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the Jewish people right there. Because if you want to know the Father, you've already known him because you've seen me. Because I know the Father and the Father is in me. And you, I'm telling you right now, you guys have seen the Father because I'm here. Now, we haven't physically seen Jesus, and some of you might have. You get to that place where you see him. We're hearing stories all over the world now that people are seeing the Jesus coming to them. But because they have seen him, because we have read the word, and because our spirit interacts with him, we know him and we know the Father because of who Jesus is. See, Jesus imitated, or for better word, he mirrored the Father. So if you looked in the mirror, do you mirror the Father? Do you mirror Jesus? Are you imitators of him? Do you mirror him? In every place of your life, do you mirror the Father? Think about your marriage. Think about your relationship with your children. Think about how your relationship with your work folks. Do you mirror the Father in everything that you do? Because it says that Jesus is exactly like the Father. He is exactly like him. There is not one difference in him. He has the same character, the same characteristics of the Father. There is not one difference. How many believe the Father, the Son, and Holy, or the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit? Do you guys believe that? Who's higher up? Is anybody high? Is God the Father the highest one in ranking? No. God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit. They are all equal. Same amount of authority, same amount of power. They are just like each other. There is no difference. If you looked in a mirror, you would see all three of them looking back at you. When Jesus looked in the mirror, he seen the Father and he seen the Holy Spirit looking back at him. When the Father looks in the mirror, he sees the Son and he sees the Holy Spirit. They are equal in value. They are linear. There is no higher up. There is no higher authority. They are the same. So let that sink in. Number seven, the last thing. Jesus came to be our substitute. Jesus came to die for us as us. Listen to that. Jesus came to die for us. As we were actually on the cross with him. We were actually on the cross with him. When Adam came into the earth, when God created him and he knelt down and he makes this man out of the clay of the ground, and then he looks at him and he blows breath, the ruach into his nostrils, and he come to life. He blew the spirit into him. When Adam was formed, at that very moment, that the seed of the world was in Adam. You got me? The seed of the world was in Adam. When Jesus is on the cross, the seed of the world is in him. The second Adam. All life comes through the Son. All life comes through the Son. He is our substitute. That we were in him on the cross. We were with him on the cross. That he knew you by name on the cross. He knew you as he's nailed to the cross. You are already there. Already there. Jesus come to die for us as us. Hebrews 10. I'm going to back up with two verses, 8. through 11, and I'm going to go to 19 and 23 in Hebrews 10. It says, previously sayings, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them. I was talking to my sister this past week, and she asked a question of Numbers 29:1, and it was talking about all these sacrificial animals being killed constantly. I mean, when you read, and you got to go back into Numbers 28, and you got to go back and see what was going on, and the Feast of Trumpets is going on, and there's a lot of animals being slayed. There's daily sacrifices. There's all this stuff, all this bloodshed going on all the time. No more did he require that to happen. Could you imagine the stress upon your life if you had to go and sacrifice every morning? Well, how would you like that before you go to work? You had to get out and get this sacrifice, and you had to kill it and take care of it and be atoned for you. Every day you would have to do something in a sacrificial way. Or then they would come to these big places and this weight of this, man, I got to find a spotless lamb because the Passover's coming. I got to find this. And it's constantly sacrificial things going on. The death and the blood shed everywhere. What a reminder of what sin is. When you look at the things around, and if you was in that era or in that time frame and space and dimension, you would see all the bloodshed all over the earth that the Jewish people were doing, slaying the animals, working out what should I get, which one should I get, what should I do, how am I going to select the right one? All this stuff going on before you continue out your day. How would you like that? But see, Jesus came to do away with all of that stuff, and you don't have to see no sacrifices anymore. You don't have to do anything but die to yourself. See, the sacrifice is dying to ourselves. The sacrifice is laying our life down before him. It's not allowing our heart, our desires of our heart, unless they are God's desires, to align up with him. But our desires to do the things of the world has to be sacrificed and put away. It has to die. And you lay it down before him. Hebrews 10:8 again. Previously he's saying, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. See, it was the law, right? That was added later, the parentheses. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. What's he taking away? The first. You know what the first is? Taking away the first covenant. He's taking away the first covenant, right? And establishing the second, the new covenant. Let's go on. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil consciousness and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Listen to that. What he did on the cross, he promised faithfully. No more doubts that you have something hidden. No more doubts that you have sin that is lingering. No more doubts that you have things that are holding you out of the kingdom of God. There is no more doubts because, now there is doubts if you make those doubts. If you want to keep living in sin, you want to keep having that worm eat away all the fruit that God has put in you, then keep doing it. But if you want to change the way you live, you want to kill that worm that's eating away those things, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you allow him in and trust, let him come into that place of no trespassing zone, but you invite him in, he's going to come in every time. And he's going to destroy you every single time. But Jesus said, my blood is sufficient. I've came and I've laid my life down for you. And all you have to do is accept me. My new covenant is new. It is not like the old one. It is a new thing I've done. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing you have to do except accept me as Savior. And if once you accept me as Savior, that no trespassing zone goes up. And there is no way the enemy could come in and destroy you. There is absolutely no weapon formed against you. High and from the heavens to the dirt to the hell, there is not one enemy, not one weapon can come against a Christian that is living his life right, that is fully dedicated to the Son of God. Zero. So if you're still living in sin today, it's time to wipe it out. It's time to get rid of it. It's time to lay it at the altar. Die to yourself daily. If you make a mistake in your life, fall on your face and die. Fall on your face and die. That's where we got to live. You got to live on your face. You got to die to those things in your life. You want to be broken and you want new fruit and new wine to come out of you? Die. Allow to be broken. So as we close today, Jesus came to set us free. Basically, the separation that Adam and Eve caused in the garden, Jesus came to bring that back together. No more separation. That's why the veil was rent, that anyone can come to the Father. Anyone can come in. He came so we could live to our full potential. Our full potential, even if our fruit looks terrible, like it didn't get pollinated correctly. He came so we could be pollinated correctly. He came to restore all that so we could live out our life to the fullness. Jesus said he makes all things new. He makes all things new. And it doesn't matter what's happened in your life. If you've done it, someone else has done it to you, he makes all things new. Not you. Has nothing to do with you. But Jesus himself, by his blood, by the cross, by the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling within you, makes all things new in your life. See, Jesus came to give access to the Father. And I know we all know that here today, that he gave us access. That each and every day, and each and every moment, as Sonny opened up this morning, he talked about being and doing constant prayer. Now I know you're doing your jobs and you're doing things and you're working and your mind's not quite all there on biblical things. You know, if you're retired, you could do that. But right now, it's everything you do unto the Lord. Consciously knowing the Lord. You walk out your life, and you walk out in things in your life, and you walk out in the store, and it's constantly remembering who I represent. If a mirror followed you wherever you went, and you're looking in the mirror everywhere you go, and you're looking at the person, and they're looking right back at you, what's that mirror showing, and what's that mirror revealing about you? I don't know, because I'm not looking in your mirror. But each one of you know, because you're looking in the mirror. And you know. Do you see Jesus' face looking back at you? Do you see the Father? Do you see the Holy Spirit looking back at you? Or do you see you looking back at you? See, Jesus changed. He came and changed the mirror. That looks like him. And when sometimes we look in the mirror and we see part of Jesus and we see part of ourselves, that's the part of yourself that you see that you need to change. Because what's happening is the mirror is beginning to look like Jesus, but there are still some things in your life that need to get undone, that need to be nailed to the cross, that need to die. So, Father God, I just come before you today, and as we close, Lord, as we finish today, as we each one of us take a moment and look into that mirror this morning. Father, Holy Spirit, I pray right now you begin to reveal as every eye is shut right now, just looking into the mirror. Holy Spirit, I just pray over this whole room that you begin to show that person the picture in the mirror. Is it a reflection of you, Holy Spirit? Or is it a reflection of partly you? Three quarters you? Father, as we continue on in this service, as we finish up, if you're here today and you don't see Jesus, you see only part of him, I'm not your judge and come to the altar. You got to die, not me. No one's going to pray for you today because this is something that has to happen between you and the Father. You can do it at your seat, but it works a little better when you come to the altar because it makes you move. It makes you say, oh, you know what? My pride is not going to hold me down. So, Father, I pray right now, Father, for each and every one that has looked into the mirror this morning. The altars are open. If you feel free to come, come. If not, stay. Father, I pray right now, Father, over our congregation and over the ones that listen online, Father, that if they are doing anything, they don't see you in the mirror, Father, they fall down right now, wherever they're at. They drop down and begin to die to themselves. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins one to another, if we confess our sins to you, Lord, that you will take them away from us. Father, I pray that anything that is hidden in our lives, Father, be opened up right now in Jesus' name. Father, open it up to our spirit. Open it up so we understand that what we're doing is wrong. And Father, I pray that you just continually move today, Father, in this sanctuary, in this moment. Father, I pray that as we walk out our life, we remember this word. We remember looking into the mirror, and who do we see? You've changed everything for us, Father. Sending your son to die on the cross on my behalf as I was there on the cross with him. Lord, I thank you, and I pray that you've right now, Father, that the potential that was in us, that we have missed out on, Father, the things that we have allowed in our life, Father, that we have laid them down to you, Father, I pray that today you begin to restore those things back in us, God, that you supernaturally, it doesn't matter our age, it doesn't matter how young we are, how old we are, you begin to supernaturally produce the harvest that you wanted in us. And so, Father, I pray today, as we leave here this morning, let us remember to interpretate your scriptures well. Let us remember to look in the mirror to see you in every situation. Father, keep us today as we leave. Let your glory, let your face shine upon us. I pray the glory of God rest upon us. As we leave here today, keep us and let your face shine upon us, Lord. Let your love and your joy when I see the picture of you, Lord, I see a picture of you harvesting the fields, and I see the smile on your face as each and every one has been harvested, and the harvest is good. Father, keep us as we leave here today in Jesus' mighty name.